news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
There have now been more than 20 million cases of coronavirus worldwide and at least 736,000 deaths. And as the virus continues to spread, experts say exploring the relationship between vaccines and asymptomatic carriers, that is people who have the virus but are not affected, may be the key to getting it under control. New research suggests that people who got vaccines to prevent other ailments may be less likely to suffer from COVID-19. Meanwhile, Russia now claims to have registered a vaccine, though the country has released no scientific data on its testing. The latest critical trials from drug company Moderna in the U.S. suggest that there's really no chance of a vaccine by Election Day. And it appears that we have a long fall ahead of us, as college football games are debating postponing their seasons altogether due to the virus. Now, realizing that there were precious hours of the day when his mug was not plastered all over America's television sets, Donald Trump has reinstated his masturbatory briefing rallies each afternoon as a solo act, because who needs those stinking doctors when you have Trump's stable genius brain regurgitating all the info they've given him? Anyway, shortly after beginning his propaganda pitch on Monday, Secret Service abruptly whisked in and rushed him out of the room. The Secret Service later said a shot was fired by a uniformed Secret Service officer at a suspect and that the White House was never in danger. All right. So Trump returned to the briefing room about 10 minutes later. He resumed his comments on the coronavirus crisis after briefly addressing what had happened outside. And then the bullshit session recommenced. Of course, if you were looking for actual information of consequence, you wasted your time with that spectacle. Among other nonsense he spewed on Monday, Trump said he's considering temporary measures to block American citizens and permanent residents who could be infected with the coronavirus from returning to the United States. Draft immigration regulations obtained by the New York Times would let border officials deny entry to citizens and legal residents if an official, quote, reasonably believes that the individual either may have been exposed to or is infected with the communicable disease. The drafts also say that any order blocking them from returning must, quote, include appropriate protections to ensure that no constitutional rights are infringed. Yeah, so letting some border official make the decision as to whether to allow a citizen back into his own country? How could that possibly infringe on anyone's constitutional rights? Yeah. Trump has also imposed sweeping bans on entry by foreigners from coronavirus hotspots to curb the spread of COVID-19. But U.S. citizens and permanent residents have been exempt. Federal agencies have been asked to provide feedback on the proposal by Tuesday. Well, it also appears that the orange one has narrowed his options for the site of his presidential nomination acceptance speech. It would normally be given at the Republican convention, but is obviously being relocated because of the coronavirus. The two finalists appear to be the White House and the Gettysburg Battlefield, though both locations could cause legal issues as they're both federal property and not meant to be used for political campaigning. Some Republicans were wary of Trump's idea to use the White House, citing the Hatch Act, which limits political work while on the job in an official capacity that this administration seems to ignore on a regular basis. Trump, as president, is allegedly exempt from the law, but White House staffers who would theoretically work the event are not. Not that they care. Moving right along, with new COVID relief talks stalled, House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer announced Monday that the full House will not convene again until September 14th, adding another week to their month-long August recess. Come on, they gotta go home and campaign, right?
Aye.
And Trump and his Republican supporters are trying to stop states from moving forward with expanded mail-in voting measures. Nevada is fighting a recent challenge from the Trump campaign to the state's plan to send absentee ballots to all active voters. In Rhode Island, the Republican National Committee has asked the Supreme Court to intervene after that state decided to lift witness requirements for absentee ballots. Meanwhile, Democrats are finally openly accusing the Trump administration and the U.S. Postmaster General of, quote, deliberate sabotage of the Postal Service in the form of slower service and fewer hours just months before an election that will rely heavily on the U.S. Postal Service to deliver critical election materials. Funding for state and local governments continues to top the list of sticking points that are holding up the revival of the ongoing coronavirus relief package discussions. Before talks collapsed late last week, the two sides remained very far apart on just how much additional aid they will accept as part of a larger package. Democrats want $915 billion going to state and local governments. Republicans are offering only $150 billion. And then there's Steven Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, who allegedly believes that resolving state aid and unemployment is a linchpin of a larger deal. On Monday, he called the Democratic request, quote, absurd. But Democrats warn that without a significant influx of new money, state and local governments will have to lay off workers and cut essential services in the middle of a pandemic. In other news, if it's Tuesday, it's primary day in Connecticut, Georgia, Minnesota, South Dakota, Vermont, and Wisconsin. One of the more consequential seats being defended today is held by Congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minneapolis. She's facing possibly the stiffest challenge of any of the squad members, being primaried by Antoine Melton Moe, someone who's bankrolled by major pro-Israel donors. He spent more than twice as much as Omar on TV ads, and outside groups have kicked in also to increase his advantage. Federal Election Commission Chief Ellen Weintraub on Monday warned that there's a substantial chance a winner will not be declared in the presidential race on election night because of expected challenges at polling stations and with mail-in ballots. Amid the COVID-19 crisis, she says, we're all going to need to take a deep breath and be patient this year.
What we need to do is get more resources to the states. This is critically important, and it has to happen now. The states and localities are going to incur huge extra expenses this year in order to have the kind of ramped up absentee voting program that the voters are demanding, but also to provide for safe in-person voting for those voters who choose to vote this way. They are having trouble recruiting poll workers. If there are listeners out there who are young and healthy and would like to do something for their democracy, I encourage you to volunteer to be a poll worker. But the entire operation is going to be much more expensive. The Brennan Center in New York has estimated that there will be about $4 billion in extra costs involved in this election as a result of the pandemic. And so far, Congress has allocated about $400 million. They really need to allocate more money now. I'm very concerned about this. And that is the number one priority right now. You also mentioned, are they going to be able to do it in a timely fashion? So let me just tell everybody, we're all going to need to take a deep breath and be patient this year, because there's a substantial chance we are not going to know on election night what the results are, for possibly for the presidency, but maybe for many other races that are important to people. And that's okay. If it takes a little bit longer to count all the votes accurately, that's what we need to do in order to ensure that everyone's vote counts.
Oops, Trump did it again. In his daily word salad TV time Monday, Trump again got history wrong on multiple accounts when he claimed the 1917 Spanish flu, it actually began in 1918, likely led to the end of World War II. No, that began more than 20 years later.
The closest thing is in 1917, they say, right? The great pandemic certainly was a terrible thing, where they lost anywhere from 50 to 100 million people. Probably ended the Second World War. All the soldiers were sick.
You just can't make this stuff up. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.